Hi, my name is Angela Stimolis. I live at 292 Seaview Drive, and I bought my first Airbnb property after the state had passed the regulation that said no municipality should restrict any homeowner from doing a short-term rental as long as it helps with tourism and increases tax benefits to the state, which was my primary reason for investing a lot of money in buying a property, completely rehabbing it, so that I could rent it out, not realizing that there was ever a chance that somebody would come and tell me what I could and could not do with my own property. I also want to clarify the difference between short-term rental. There have been some people, even from within the city that I've spoken to, that seem to think that rooming houses are short-term rentals, right? We're talking about short-term rentals that are on a platform that abide by the existing state law that requires them that they be on a platform like Airbnb and VRBO. So those platforms create regulation that I'm assuming some of the people that crafted the proposed restrictions are not aware of. They require that you have rules. They require an ID for the person before they can even be on the platform, and they allow you to screen the individual before you allow them into your house. I have cameras on the property because I'm confused as to why people would be surprised. I want to take care of my property. I don't want anybody damaging it. I want to make sure that individuals that come into the property do not have parties. There are no more than have actually stated themselves as coming in to rent the property. And I welcome anybody to actually look at some of these Airbnbs, their quality homes that would not be constituted as low-income housing by any means of the imagination if they were not allowed to be Airbnbs. I would never want a stranger sleeping in the bedroom next to mine just because the city thinks that's a better, smarter, safer thing. I would not feel safe at all with a stranger sleeping in the next bedroom. So I just think that that's just shocking to me that that would be considered a safety feature. I currently employed people to do the rehab and to maintain the property, plumbers, electricians, contractors, all local Warwickians. I also employ locals to clean the property. I live two blocks down, but maybe I'm not the best cleaner. I employ professionals, and we are providing jobs for people that live in the community. I have people also that landscape the property that live in the community. The guests that are coming, I have a minimum of 3 to 5 days. That's the normal stay. I would never want a one-day rental. And they actually patronize the local restaurants, the coffee shops, the gas station, the mini mart. I see them on the camera. The first thing that they do, they go shopping, they go buy coffee, they go buy groceries so that they can have something to actually use while they're at the property. I do think that this is a huge violation of our property rights. I started investing in Oakland Beach in 2012. Every single property I bought should have been completely demolished. Zoning violations all over the place. I completely gutted and redid every property, and I rented and I maintain it. Whether it's a month-long rental, 31 days, a week, or a year, that is my property, and I should have absolute right on the length of the term that I rented for. If this process of restricting proceeds, I'm hoping that we can be part of the conversation, and instead of restricting, maybe you want to say regulating or registering. I've already registered my property. I just hope that you will listen to people that have invested in the community and bring money to the tax base of Warwick. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, will do. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dan Saffer. I am a real estate professional here in the state of Rhode Island, a small business owner here on West Shore Road, as well as an Airbnb host. So I've been involved in Airbnb for about 7 years now, over 900 reviews. You know, you take the good with the bad. I believe there should be some sort of regulation, but do I believe that it should be as strict as it is right now? I think you're going from one side of the pendulum to the other. I think, as our previous speakers have said, there should be a conversation that we are involved in. We live here. We invest in our community. I've been a real estate professional for 2 decades. I've remodeled and overseed over 400 units just in the city of Warwick. I own over 100 units currently, and I believe we should be a part of the conversation. I own West Shore Coffee Bar, which is located on West Shore Road. I've had numerous people from Airbnb come into my shop, see what's going on. And out of those people who showed up, I've had 4 of them come into the shop and say, I want to live in this city. Can you help me find some real estate? Perfect. I sold them all 4 a house here in our city, here where we all live and we pay our taxes and we want to see the best thing for this city. So what Airbnb does for our town is bring in tax revenue. It helps small businesses like myself and others that are not on Bald Hill Road, that we are not big box stores. We're small business owners. And if this bill does go through, what's the repercussions of it? As a real estate professional, I can tell you all that you're going to run into people who are going to be desperate, that need to pay those mortgages. What are they going to do? They're going to rent them out to people who may not bring the best character to our neighborhoods, to our cities, to our schools. We may be running into further issues than we're already dealing with now, because then you run into owners who are so desperate to pay their mortgage that you're going to hurt them. And then we bring the wrong people in. Like we've talked about before, the average stay is 3 to 5 days. They're here, they spend their money here, and then they leave. So what will happen if this goes through? We don't rent them out. Okay, now we're going to sell. What happens then? You're selling out of desperation. Like I said before, I'm a 2-decade real estate professional. What happens at it when you sell something in desperation? You sell it low. What happens then? You may not get the right person that should be in our town. So I'll recap with just saying we should be part of this solution. I believe there definitely should be some regulations, but this is going way too far. We need to be part of the solution together. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening. My name is Mike LaChapelle. I own 27 Wilcox Street in Oakland Beach. Local resident, grew up here, went to Oakland Beach Elementary, always held the city of Warwick to a very high standard of education, kindness. You brought to the attention on the bill that for smoke alarms, fire safety, electrical breaker panels, fire extinguishers, and then zoning to submit plans. I'm a local contractor in the area, and on the Airbnb process, on my check-in, I give you all of those locations with main water supply shutoff, all shutoffs under the sink, the electrical panel, and all of our CO2 and smoke alarms are up to date. I love the reform here. I love the structure. I'm all about it. But I'd like to work with you guys. I don't know. All right, thanks.
Thank you, sir. Next up.
Hi, my name is Danelle Dubai. I'm a community nurse practitioner, and I'm from the Boston area. I relocated to Warwick last year. I bought a two-family in Arnold's Neck, Midgley Ave. And I live in the above unit, and I renovated the bottom unit as a short-term rental. I did just include a little bit of statistics in this write-up. I got them from the 2020 U.S. Census Bureau, as well as a national website that tracks short-term rental market data. So you might know that Warwick is one of the largest cities in the state of Rhode Island, with over 80,000 residents and over 35,000 households. Out of 35,000 households, only 73 of them are short-term rentals. According to 2021 market data, the percentage of short-term rentals in Warwick is only 0.2%. So Warwick, even though we might think it's a tourist city, it's really not, especially when compared to a city like Newport. Newport has only 10,000 households, and almost 1,000 of them are short-term rentals. So that's 8% of Newport. So Warwick is unique. It's 70% of Warwick is owner-occupied compared to 40% of Newport. And the high owner occupancy rate of Warwick supports that Warwick is a family city with long-term residents and not a tourist attraction. Most of my guests who have visited Warwick are not tourists, but are travelers returning home to visit loved ones, meet new grandchildren, attend memorial services, and reconnect with old friends. Because most of my travelers have called Warwick home at one point or another in their lifetime, they're looking for that when they come to visit. They're looking for a space where they can prepare a meal for their family, break bread, and catch up with their loved ones that they miss. According to short-term market data, the average Warwick short-term rental sleeps 4.7 guests. A standard hotel accommodation sleeps 2 guests. So short-term rentals in Warwick is a home away from home experience that offers the capacity to house a family visiting family. Again, I'm one of 73 short-term rentals in Warwick. The average number of guests that I have staying at my home are 3, with an average length of stay of 5 nights. This year, some of the people that I had the pleasure of meeting were Tom and Sally, whose daughter and husband moved to Warwick. They stayed for a month to spend time with their granddaughters. Michelle, a lifelong resident and nurse at Kent Hospital, who retired in Florida, came back because her daughter just had a baby. Pierre and Constance from France spent a week of quality time with their daughter, who goes to school at Brown University. Jeff and Susan grew up in Warwick and returned for a week to help their family care for their ill elderly aunt. Bobby and Jen and their daughter, originally from Warwick, returned to attend Bobby's dad's memorial service and spend time with family. Patty and Tammy grew up in Warwick and returned for Patty's ex-husband's memorial service and to visit friends. Patty realizes how much she misses Warwick and now is planning on relocating back from South Carolina. I've had several requests from neighbors in my neighborhood who want to book weeks for their family. And these are just a few of the people that I've met this year. I'm a new resident of Warwick, but through the eyes and stories of my guests, I have a deeper understanding of the special community and the bonds that Warwick creates. And I look forward to growing and becoming a part of this community. And in contrast to other big cities in Rhode Island, Warwick is a truly special place that creates that family community, which is bringing people back to visit. So again, that 0.2%, 73 households out of 35,000 in the city, short-term rentals are few, but they're special because they offer a cozy home for a family to return, reminisce, and reconnect. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Carolyn Flaska. I live at 24 Dan Street in Warwick. My mother was first generation property owner in Warwick. She owned about 14 houses. I've since come to manage those and bought 8 of my own, so I currently manage all of them. I don't do short-term rentals, but I'm here to support the idea because I have personally come across experiences where I should have probably done it to keep things alive. So I understand what a lot of people here have gone through. I came because I'm an abutting neighbor of people who have done the short-term rentals, and I've had nothing but good experiences. I've noticed that, in particular, I bought a property in Oakland Beach on the water about 5 years ago, and in embarking on a build there, I've watched other people get their permits before me and actually be able to do their build. And I've watched responsible, beautiful projects go from what was an old abandoned lot to an absolutely new, full of life, newly rented. I watched some of those go through the short-term process of the rental in the summers, and all went well. I saw happy people. They came, they went, they threw their trash out. Didn't seem like there's any problems. I really came to stand up because in the beginning, there's a picture from my view being painted that there's a community that's trying to do something good. And there may have been some bad situations. And in any given situation, you're going to have some of that. I've lived by the motto that there's no problems, only solutions. And I'm not certain that this has been worked through thoroughly to a point where you as a board, the community, the people that are in this business can have a solution at this point tonight that would be in everyone's best interests. And I think that that's an important, it's an important goal. I'm not good at public speaking, so I apologize if I'm stuttering a little. I respect the process. I ask that, myself included, because I may come to a point where I need to use the short-term rental as an avenue to stay alive in any one of the given houses that I have. And listening to some of the people come up here, we have bright, intelligent, sharp, motivated, willing to give their heart and soul to these properties, which that's what it takes in the rental business. And I ask that you be fair and don't jump to a conclusion maybe tonight. Allow there to be a committee formed amongst all of us, amongst you, maybe have a meeting of the minds. If it's a standard contract that should be implemented and other different measures that would please the committee, please the community, the rules, the laws, just allow us the opportunity to at least, just don't shut us out as if we're all doing something wrong and this is a bad idea to have short-term rentals. I think with the proper structure, it could flourish into something beautiful. We have a coastal community. I've invested heavily into this community. I own properties on the water. It's you go in any other community in the city, and to be able to rent properties close to the coast, it does a number of good, not only for the renter, but the people who own. So it is a win-win. And if there are problems, I mean, this world to a large degree is built on free enterprise, and we've all embarked out for a number of different reasons how we came to this journey of being in real estate. And I would hate to see us be targeted or shut out without having the opportunity to prove that we can do good as owners in the community. And I only know a few of you. I've seen many of their faces at different meetings. I feel that we can assemble if given the right forums, and I hope you give us the opportunity to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Richard Miskovich, and I reside at 79 and 83 Roosevelt Street. MISCOV as in Victor, ICH. You're welcome. And I live at 79 and 83 Roosevelt Street. They're adjacent properties. I know, and I do believe, I'm happy to be inspected. I'm happy to pay licensing fees. I think that's fine, and I don't want to speak for anyone else, but I know that a lot of people consider that the cost of doing business, just like we do with cleaning, outfitting our Airbnbs that are the best possible experience for people to come and visit, whether they're tourists or whether visiting family or sick family members. I do think, and as some other people have said, that the proximity of the homeowner to that property is an important consideration. I live right next door, so I consider that I occupy both of those properties. I do the landscaping, so it's in conjunction. I clean them, I can see them, and in fact, I often stay at my Airbnb. I work at Johnson & Wales, I'm a published cookbook author, I'm able to do product development in one, I have a library in one, I go back and forth. When my elderly mother comes, she stays in the Airbnb because she can't go up the stairs in my other house. So I think that's really something to look at. I don't think anyone wants people from China owning all the short-term rentals in Warwick. But there are a lot of dedicated people who are trying to make the city a nicer place for people to come and visit. I also, we've heard like our own opinions, but I just also want to just say a couple of, like, speak for the people who've stayed with us. And I have some quotes. I'm fairly new to this, a year and a half. I have 66 reviews. They're all 5-star reviews. But it is gratifying to see people come, either because they've lived here before, or they're seeing a grandchild, or because they just want to go and vacation somewhere. I myself, when I vacation, my girlfriend and I, we find an Airbnb. If there's not an Airbnb in that community, we go to another community, because that's the type of environment that we want to stay in. So these are the things that people say. Absolutely lovely home, very clean, located on a quiet traffic street. It's a 15-minute walk into the village with cafes, restaurants, ice cream spot, and small shops. It's close to the lovely Patuxent Village. You can walk there in 10 minutes and have a delicious crepe at Crepe Corner. I'll also say there's no hotel within walking distance of Patuxent Village, and probably a lot of other communities that people have Airbnbs in too. The location is great for walking into the village and finding places to eat. Beautiful location to walk near the cove and view the boats and grand homes. We walked into the village a few times, which took about 10 to 15 minutes. Very cute area with good options for dining and cute shops to walk around. I like walking in the village too, but I can't go out and eat lunch there every day. I'll get an egg sandwich on the way to work, but I'm not going out when people just like these people are. My husband felt it was the nicest Airbnb we ever stayed at. Location of the home was convenient to shopping, dining, and beaches, parks for outdoor activities. Richard's guidebook gave us a very good sense of what restaurants were in the area. But I also want to point out, as one other gentleman said, that we screen these people. Airbnb screens them, other platforms screen them, but we do that too because we don't want people just coming in and not being a reliable guest. Here's an example. This is in April of 22. We're a family who live off a nearby street. That was all. They're putting a reservation request. And I said, "Hi, thanks for checking out my listing. Always glad to meet new neighbors. What brings you over to Roosevelt Street? Airbnb's terms of service prevents third-party bookings. Since you're one street over, I have to make sure that you'll be staying and not booking it for other family members or friends. Also, please confirm you agree with the house rules, including that there can be no parties. I know that seems official, but I just want to make sure I follow the Airbnb guidelines and keep our neighborhood safe and quiet. Thanks, and please let me know. A couple minutes later, they canceled that reservation. And so I was glad I screened them. I would rather have it be empty than have someone having a party. I also have in my description that I live right next door, just as a kind of, you know, notice that I can see you. And I respect people's privacy, but I make myself known and they can see me. And if I have a hot water problem, I did this week, I was able to fix that in one day because I have my plumber who's in here, who lives in Warwick, come and fix that for me. So really my concerns are really having adjacent or very close proximity homeowners, thinking about how this affects the local economy and continuing to build Warwick for a place to people that want to come and stay. Thanks for your time.
Good evening, my name is Nadine Stanovich. I'm a super host. I'm a Warwick constituent and my residence is in Buttonwoods. Not so close. I'll begin again. Good evening, my name is Nadine Stanovich. I am a Warwick constituent living in 9 Andrew Comstock Road in Buttonwoods, Rhode Island. I have recently relocated to Rhode Island after living in many states. This is my true home. Thank you, Mayor Cozy, and all the council members for being here this evening. As an Airbnb superhost, one of the most important things for me is respect. Respect for my city, respect for my guests, but most importantly, respect for my neighbors. The very first thing I did before I started the Airbnb in Sagamore in Oakland Beach is I went to all of my neighbors. Don to my left, Auntie Lisa across the street, Eric and Jen, and Billy. I told them what I was going to do, and I assured them that the kind of people, the guests I would have, would be quality guests. I gave them my phone number, and I told them, if you ever have a problem, call me. I am literally 7 minutes away, probably 5 minutes if I kayak. The only time I have ever received a phone call was when Eric called me to tell me one of your guests is smoking on your porch. That is the only, I guess if you could call it, complaint I had, which he was looking out for me. And that is one of the things in our neighborhood is that we all look out for each other. When I come into a community, the most important thing for me is to really get involved in my community and to make it a better community and then share it with others. The second thing is helping local businesses. I refer all my guests to a variety of local businesses, from Nostalgic Iggy's to Parkey's Ice Cream to Divine's, one of my favorite Italian restaurants, the Beach Cafe, Tommy's Clam Shack, Dockside, Lemon Laundry. There's many more. I could go on and on and on, but I don't want to take up the whole time. Along with St. Rita's Church and the First Congregational Church, many guests ask me for a local church. I want you to consider a bigger picture of all the families who actually use Airbnb. Like someone had mentioned before, there are families who have children and they can't afford to rent 2 or 3 hotel rooms. And on top of that, 3 square meals a day for all these children out at restaurants. It's a big expense. So we've given these families an opportunity to have a true family vacation at a modest rate where they're able to afford more experiences in the neighborhood. Each one of my guests, I take care of like family. And I'd just like to read a few things that some of my guests have written. Thank you so very much for a lovely stay. We truly enjoyed ourselves and our children had a great time at vacation home. We love your charming home and all you did to make it wonderful for our children. The Whitted family. Thank you for accommodating last-minute changes and allowing this COVID-stained RN and PA with 2 high-need toddlers, 2 and 2.5, a safe and reliable place to escape the world. Additional thanks for the Whalers Rise. I do incorporate some local foods and drinks in my Airbnb so people can become familiar with them. We hope the completion of the season goes well. We will love to return if able. Please send apologies to the neighbors if the kiddos' screams kept them awake. Thank you so much for sharing your lovely home. We had a wonderful time and made loads of memories with our children and grandchildren. Thank you for all the extras you did to make our stay so enjoyable. We would definitely love to come back. This has to be by far the best place we have stayed. We loved this place. Every thoughtful detail warmed our hearts. It was a difficult time of family loss, and it was comforting to be surrounded by beautiful pieces in your home, fond memories of our childhood, and a great place to gather around together a big table. Thank you for the wonderful home away from home. The neighborhood was also charming. When Grandpa is 91, going on 92, these little vacations mean so much. He, for the first time in a long time, got out and participated in a historical tour and a trip to the Biomes Aquarium. Then 53rd anniversary dessert for breakfast from a local bakery. Thanks for the memories. These are just some of the many. We keep a guest log and they all write in. We take pride in our home, my husband and I, all of our properties. We have a couple long-term houses also on Long Beach. And Airbnb itself is an amazing regulator, protecting both the host and the guests. Behavior by all is posted on the site. I do my own due diligence, and I read any guest who wants to stay at my property. I choose the guest. If they don't agree to my rules, they don't get to stay in my home. We have made it a very special place, and I respect my guests, they respect me, and we all respect my neighbors. I have super host status because I have respect. Because if the electricity went out, as it did, I was there in 7 minutes with my electrician, and National Grid was in there in 15 minutes. And we resolved the situation. This summer, we had an extraordinary heat wave. I ran to Ocean State Job Lot immediately and bought 2 additional air conditioners for them. There are already 2 in the property. Since COVID, we were told we needed to do a super clean. They installed a 24-hour period between guests. I keep that 24-hour period for cleaning to make sure it is absolutely spotless. I do most of it myself, and I also hire a local girl. Airbnb has given everyone an opportunity to make a better life, both by as a host or even an Airbnb experience host. It has given people an opportunity to grow, to share, to become a true community. I oppose this ordinance as written and would be honored to be involved in the ratification. Thank you for your time. And if you haven't used Airbnb before, I suggest you take a look at the website. You can read all of our reviews. You can see what kind of community it is on Airbnb. When I travel, I use Airbnb. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Diane Costa. I live at 175 Suburban Parkway. This is going to be short. I am a neighbor to an Airbnb. And I have to tell you that when I first heard of it, I was kind of wary. But in the last year, it's so controlled. I've never had an issue, ever. The people that go into these Airbnbs are screened. And actually, I've actually made friends. I mean, my house abuts hers. And it's just, I have never had an issue. And the people are just great that stay there. And I honestly think it's because of the screening process. But I oppose Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Greer Gagner. I manage a short-term rental property at 11 Spring Garden in Warwick. I'm a URI graduate, and I've lived in Patuxent Village for 10 years now, and I've co-owned and managed short-term rentals in the village since 2018. Right now, we have 4 short-term rentals that I manage. I live 1 mile away or less from all of them, including the one in Warwick. I owner-occupied one of them in 2018 when I first started. In 2019, I moved out, and we also added the second floor to that rental. I can confidently say that there's been no difference in my response rate since I used to run upstairs to answer the guest questions or any issues, or I'm running down the street to do it now. I wanted to address the reason that's stated by the city for this ordinance. To quote directly from the proposed ordinance, they are the source of noise, congestion, pollution, and disorderly behavior. They have produced unreasonable disturbances of the peace, and they are inconsistent. Sorry? Yeah, sorry. Okay. Congestion, pollution, and disorderly behavior. They have produced unreasonable disturbances of the peace, and they are inconsistent with the public health and safety and general welfare of the people. I submitted a FOIA request to the City of Warwick on November 10th in order to receive the information from the appropriate departments of the city that document these complaints and violations. Earlier today, I received the response from the city clerk. Thank you. What I received is that the building and zoning department and the planning department, there are no responsive documents that exist. The Warwick Police Department does not classify ownership of dwellings when responding to these noise complaints, so no responsive documents exist. The only information received was from the Property Maintenance Department, which contains a list of 11 total complaints for the last 2 years. Of these, only 3 properties are active non-owner-occupied short-term rentals on Airbnb or VRBO. 2 were formally listed as short-term rentals. There is no documentation as to what these complaints are or what the violation is or if any of these complaints have come from the same person. The information that I have received from the city does not support the basis for the proposed ordinance. Over the last few weeks, I've spoken with over 20 short-term rental hosts. A lot of them are here tonight. The information that I've received regarding their listings and how they run their properties has only been positive. I speak for the great majority of the Warwick hosts who have wonderful relationships with all of their neighbors, who work hard to responsibly rent their property, and who have a vested interest in this community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, folks. My name is David Sepulveda, resident Smithfield, Rhode Island. My wife and I began investing in this city in 2019. Since then, we've grown to love the community, and so not to beat a dead horse, what I did want to discuss that I think what sticks out to me here is the fact that the way that Airbnb or VRBO works, it's basically merit based, and you're on a chopping block, and if you aren't providing a clean, safe, enjoyable environment for not only your guests, but also the people in the community, then it's not going to last very long at all. It's only a matter of time before people just don't book you. So I think the idea that that a non-owner occupied property is any less maintained or repaired or is any more of a danger than someone that actually lives in the property, I think that idea is unfounded. So that's pretty much what I had to say. I don't think that that you're going to find any instance where there is someone who has invested their time and their money in any project, and they're just going to let it fall by the wayside and let it go. Let it go to hell. That's really it. Thank you guys for your time and have a good night.
Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Gerald Galashaw. I have a little bit of a hard time public speaking as I have COPD. Okay, so I'll try and make this short. I've been a host and co-host for 7 years. I've managed 7 properties in 5 different communities. We've had over 2,000 guests throughout those properties. In all that time, we have had 2 issues which were resolved within about 15 minutes. Okay, I employ both the Minute device and Ring cameras on my properties so that I always know what's going on. I get notifications if the decibels go above 75 dB for more than 10 minutes. Right? I'm very responsive to my neighbors. As a matter of fact, my neighbors rent property from me on a regular basis. Since I moved into Warwick, Don will tell you, I have been very active in the Oakland Beach Community Association they have there. I made sure I could know everything I could about this community. It's a community that I've had my eye on for years, and this is a house that my wife and I enjoy during the summer, as well as renting it out. I screen my guests, everyone. I make this a point because I invested over $400,000 into the house that I have here. I didn't do that to get it ruined by a party. Okay. I had reached out to Tom since June and asked him to be part of this process. And I reached out to Mr. Ladusa about a month ago and asked him to be part of this process. I feel that we're being targeted simply because we're not owner-occupied. You can't give one segment of the community the right to do something and alienate another. That's against the 14th Amendment. So I'm going to ask you to please redo this. Let us be part of it. Hear our voice and let us, you know, let us work with you to make a better, stronger relationship for everybody. That's it.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Johnny Littlefield, and I live at 9 Andrew Comstock in Buttonwoods. And I'm just going to reiterate everything they said. I completely agree and I concur. One thing I would add is there are a lot of families that we've hosted that are actually thinking about moving to Warwick. And it's absolutely impossible to immerse yourself in a neighborhood, immerse yourself in a community by staying at a hotel with a view of the airport. It's just impossible. They use Airbnb to pick communities, live there for 3 to 5 days, get a sense of the community, get a sense of the people, get a sense of the cuisine. Yes, there is a cuisine, because I didn't know what a soggy was until I moved here. And they're delicious. It's truly important because there are people that actually want to move here. They want to live here. And in order to experience Warwick, they want to immerse themselves, and Airbnb is the perfect way to do that. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here that would like to speak against this ordinance? Go ahead, sir.
My name is John Kessler, 777 Love Lane. My situation is different than all the other people that you've been hearing from. Our house at the corner of Love Lane and Division Street was first built by the son of the founder of the city of Warwick in 1680. So I'm 11th generation in that old house. And we have never rented it out, but we're struggling to try to figure out how we can hold it all in the family, given that the family over a period of years has spread out around the country. So we've consulted with a number of organizations, including Preserve Rhode Island and an organization called Landmark Trust, which is in the business of doing short-term rentals in this country, but also all over Europe. And there's a considerable market for people who are interested in staying in old houses. Who knew? So we've explored that possibility. We don't know whether we'll ever do short-term rentals, but we're very concerned that if you adopt a strict owner occupancy requirement, that even though we use the house, we may not be able to meet the requirement, whatever it may turn out to be. So I've submitted an amendment to the ordinance that I hope you'll consider for an exception to the owner occupancy requirement for properties that are listed on the State and National Register of Historic Places. Our house is, again, was built in 1680. It's been the home of two governors of Rhode Island, a United States senator, a lieutenant governor. General Nathaniel Greene was married in our house. Benjamin Franklin used to come to visit. It's the kind of place that needs to be preserved, but it's very hard for a family over a period of hundreds of years to hold it all together. So I'm hoping that you'll consider, in the context of all the rest of this, I'm very sympathetic to all the people who have invested money in buying properties to do short-term rentals. I'm sort of the opposite. But on the other hand, I'd be categorized in the same category as the people in China who bought something to rent it out. So I hope you'll consider not only what all of these people have said to you, but also the need to protect historic properties in Warwick. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak against this ordinance? Is there anyone that would like to speak against this ordinance? Is there anyone that would like to be heard on this ordinance? Come on up, sir.
My name is Robert Byrne. I live at 20 Seabreeze Lane. My wife spoke earlier. I appreciate everything I've been hearing. I've been listening quite intently about the rules and regulations that Airbnb seems to attach to, you know, being able to have, you know, that the people who are renting the property need to follow in order to be able to rent through Airbnb. What I don't know, and this is a question, I don't have an answer for it. I just want to raise the issue of the ordinance, as far as I understand it, would apply to short-term rentals, regardless of whether it's on a platform or somebody advertises in the newspaper or some other means of you know, word of mouth or whatever the means of communication might be. So however you might restructure this, it sounds like that's maybe where this is headed. I don't know for sure. But I think that's something that needs to be considered, is whether or not, you know, there somebody renting a property has some other authority to answer to, or they have to meet certain guidelines through some other agency that they wouldn't, if they do it on their own, they could do whatever they want. So I just want that to be considered. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next up to, this is just for anything on the record.
Good evening. Is it okay? My name is Jeremy Landry. I live in Ward 5, 35 Fairhaven. I meant to come, I was doing dishes when this started. So I missed the first part to speak to being an approval. So is it okay if I speak to that? Okay, thank you. I just don't want to break any rules. There's dishes, there's laundry, right? Every time I have used an Airbnb, the owner has been there. Whether it's been in Seattle or Nova Scotia, it's been an owner-occupied property. So I think for me that is the most perplexing part of this conversation tonight. I don't own multiple properties. I own one house. We will not make extensive repairs tomorrow. They'll be done in the next 20 to 30 years as our kids go to Warwick Neck and Warwick Vets and all those kinds of things. You know, and just listening to the conversation today, whether or not a person has great reviews is not really relevant to the question of what is the economic priority here, right? The economic priority here is making sure that families can afford to live and work, from my perspective. And we know from studies done, from faculty from the University of Denver, the University of Arizona, Carnegie Mellon, Purdue, that properties that have that are not owner-occupied and are short-term rentals increase economic inequity, inequality, and they increase rents, especially for low-income families. That's research that's been done. It's available. You don't have to be logged into a university library to find it. So I appreciate the council bringing this up today. I apologize again for coming here at this point to say this. I just got in the car and, you know, turned YouTube on on the way down. Because at the end of the day, when I think about economics, right, I think about the economics of my family, which is here doing the work, coaching the soccer teams, being on the PTA, right? And that's, you know, maybe that's an economic cost, which is hard to quantify, but I think it nonetheless has to be a part of the question of when we can't just throw around, you know, what's good for economics and taxes, right? We have to look at the whole picture of what that means. And my last point would be that, and I'm not saying things well, so I do apologize. I think we have to balance the needs of our personal individual rights, which we certainly have, with the needs of our community. And in so much as the Constitution protects those individual rights, it also very clearly lays out commitments that we have to each other, right? And commitments we have to our community. So I apologize for not coming at the appropriate time. Thank you for, I do appreciate all the conversation we've heard tonight, and thank you.
Thank you. Next up.
Hi, I'm Deb Shatley. I live at 278 Seaview. I have 6 rental units. One of those is in Warwick, but it is not an Airbnb. I walk on Seaview to the beach every morning. I pass 3 Airbnbs. This summer, I had the opportunity to meet some of the guests that were there. Everybody seemed respectful. There was never a lot of cars. It didn't look like they were having parties. They were just like regular people, average people, you know, just, you know, having a little vacation at the beach. So I've had no issues with any of the Airbnbs. That's all.
Is there anyone else that would like to be heard on PCO 4-22? Is there anyone else that would like to be heard?
Yep, go right ahead.
I'd like to just say one more thing. I know I had the opportunity to speak. My name is Carolyn Falasca. After listening to everyone speak and stories, and really trying to be biased to both sides of this, I don't want it to be perceived that there's a large group of people that are out here strictly for the money. Because I'm a second generation, and I know a great many of people that rent, just like any other profession, most people are in it for the passion of it. You wake up knowing you're doing something that's gratifying, something that's giving, and although we come here initially because of the issue at hand, we have not been able to really assemble and allow you to get to know us as a community of homeowners. We wake up with the desire to give a beautiful experience, a warm home, a nice view, a safe haven. And most of us are probably more driven knowing that we're providing housing than the almighty dollar. Because in this business, a lot of times, it's a struggle. So I ask the committee to take that into consideration, that this isn't us as a group out here trying to make money with Airbnb and be absent landlords. We actually are a very responsible group of people, and we've been fighting to make the community better. And once again, I hope that you allow us the opportunity to assemble and work together with you. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.